I want to do a little analysis and some deep dive and give you six key reasons I identified for all these bold AI-related statements we're seeing recently, like that AI is coming for all white-collar jobs within 18 months, which is a statement made by the Microsoft AI chief a couple of months ago. And yeah, all white-collar work will be automated by AI within or in 18 months, according to him. But of course, it's not the only such case. Recently, we had Eric Schmidt, the former Google CEO, telling us at a commencement speech at the University of Arizona that AI will have a profound impact on jobs and that students will need to adapt. And by the way, I think he has an important point there. But obviously, delivering this message by a smiling CEO or ex-CEO, chairman, to a group of students, and by the way, by a person who was in charge of one of the companies that's now leading the entire AI transition, yeah, kind of difficult. But I'll get back to his point here and where I agree and don't agree. And then, of course, we also got Dario Amodei, my all-time favorite, who doesn't miss a chance at a microphone to tell us that AI is going to take a significant part of our jobs. It is going to automate all of programming, and therefore, by extension, of course, it's also coming for all the other white-collar jobs, or a significant part of them at least. And Sam Altman says that not even the CEO's job is safe from AI. And yeah, maybe there is some truth to that. AI could certainly draft statements like this one here. I agree with that. Though this guy is not a CEO, just to be totally fair here. Anyways, six reasons I identified for these statements and to kind of make sense of them, because of course, it's our future we're talking about here, humanity's future. And the first point here, I think, is indeed they sincerely believe it. At least some of them may sincerely believe what they're saying. And that takes me back to Eric Schmidt here. In his speech, he did not say that AI will eliminate all white-collar jobs, but instead that people will need to adopt and embrace AI. And I think there is some truth to that. I've been saying that too in my videos and episodes. And of course, I am creating courses, for example, on Claude Code, Codex, Claude Cowork, besides all those programming courses. And I got more programming courses coming up too, but I have those courses to teach you the in and outs of Codex or Claude Code and how to efficiently work with these tools beyond the very basics. Because I believe that as a developer in case of these tools, but in case of Claude Cowork, as a white-collar worker in general, you indeed have to adapt and embrace these tools to prepare for the future. A future where AI will play an important role, of course, because it already does play an important role and it is an important tool. It can really make you more productive and help you, and it will transform jobs. I think there is no doubt about that. But of course, delivering this message in the way it was delivered, smiling on the stage to students that are ready to start their careers, which are now careers full of uncertainty, that of course is pretty difficult, especially since we have all these other statements that tell us that white-collar jobs in general are in high danger. But still, yeah, I think there is some sincere belief in some of these messages, especially the more moderate ones. Adapting, having to adapt, I'm on board with that. AI wiping out everything, especially in 18 months, yeah, we got some other reasons for that. For example, that they want to accelerate adoption. You have to keep in mind that pretty much all these people that are making these statements are doing what? Oh, yeah, right. They're selling you the tools. They're selling you the AI models. They're selling you Claude Code and so on. And yeah, I also sell courses on Claude Code. I get that point. I'm very interested in AI not automating away all our jobs, though. And I did create an entire video where I shared that AI took the joy out of programming for me. And obviously, I'm also adjusting and I'm trying to find some new joy in the way we work. But yeah, believe me, if AI wouldn't exist, I would be perfectly fine with that. But yeah, those people are trying to accelerate adoption. They, of course, are trying to push people to adopt AI because you will need to be ready for the future. There is some truth to that, as I mentioned. But of course, that is another strong reason for making these bold statements. Now, statements like AI wiping out all white-collar work, kind of difficult, because why would you adopt a tool if it doesn't matter anyways? So there probably are other reasons for that. And there are. Because related to accelerated adoption, they of course want to sell their services and tools not just to you as an employee, but to companies as a whole. If a company sees the chance of getting rid of employees and instead using AI, that is pretty interesting for some companies, for most companies probably. And of course, therefore pushing messages like this one, that all white collar work will be gone, could impress some companies and could get some companies to buy more AI related services, capacity, anything, whatever they need for their business. So yeah, even statements like this can make sense when it comes to selling stuff. Statements like this can also help with justifying restructuring, both at companies like Microsoft and so on, but of course also at other companies, which can now, due to that second point, clearly communicate that they need less employees because of AI. And we're seeing tons of that. We're seeing a lot of layoffs that are always, or pretty much always explained with AI. Or AI at least plays a role in those explanations. We saw layoffs at Cloudflare, at Meta, and many, many, many more. You are probably well aware of all these layoff waves we're seeing. And I'm not saying that AI is not playing any role there. It's certainly playing a role, though, as a justification for those layoffs. I mean, it's no secret that all these companies massively overhired during the pandemic and already before the pandemic, if we're being honest. So of course, AI could now be a reason why they're hiring less, but of course for the mass layoffs, that is very much related to them having too many employees, and AI is a welcome justification there, and therefore, of course, it's good to have bold statements like this. That makes this justification so much easier. But let's not stop there. It's also about impressing investors. Maybe not so much for Microsoft, but even they have an interest in pushing their stock price. But especially for Anthropic, for OpenAI, they want to go public this year. And together with SpaceX, we have three large companies that want to go public this year. And of course, in order to drum up demand and make sure that they get the largest share of available liquidity, because liquidity will kind of be a problem for all three companies to go public, in order to get the biggest share, the most attention, and be the most appealing to investors, also prior to IPOs, by the way, you, of course, want to have good financing rounds, you want to have good valuations. So in order for that, again, statements like this, and I don't just want to push this guy here, also the statements by Dario, they make sense, right? You want to make it very clear that in a world where everything is changing, where all the work is being eliminated and automated and done by AI, you are the company that sells the future. You are the company that has the future, that has the top AI models. That's such a strong message. So obviously, this is such an important point. And therefore, I believe that is one of the most important reasons for some of these bold statements. And then we have regulation, and that you want to shape regulation. So, see, AI is clearly ramping up, And everybody's talking about AI, myself included. I'm aware of that. And obviously, due to all these bold statements here, there is more and more resistance against AI. So these statements kind of are becoming a problem for the companies themselves, and I think at some point they will realize it. Nonetheless, of course, I think some of these companies, maybe all of them, are trying to make those bold statements also to kind of steer regulation. You could make the argument that because AI has such a huge impact and is so dangerous, we also had statements related to that, think of the Mythos model by Anthropic, because of that, you might want to influence regulators and regulation bodies to maybe restrict the number of companies that's allowed to work on AI models and to kind of really, yeah, nudge and shape regulation to be in your favor. Obviously, this can backfire, as I mentioned, because all these statements are creating so much anger and hate in the population for very understandable reasons, and it's probably the same for you, it definitely is for me, that there, of course, is a lot of pushback against AI, against data centers. We're seeing that in the US. The problem just is, of course, the US is not the only country out there with good AI models or the best AI models. We got China as a fierce competition, so opting out of AI just isn't a solution. You can't just say, okay, we'll pause, we'll not continue developing, or we'll forbid it, prohibit it, anything like that won't work because it's an international competition. Europe is not involved, no worries, but of course China is. So yeah. That still is another point I'm seeing. And kind of related is the narrative advantage. Because if you are seen, or your company is seen as the most aggressive company when it comes to that AI is going to take over all jobs narrative, that may attract talent, investors, as I already mentioned, and give you an edge in the competitive positioning. It may attract more customers because when those customers are pushing to buy those services and tools, they may go for the company that has the most aggressive messaging. If for nothing else, then at least for the reason that that company has a lot of exposure in the media and so on. So being the company that's in the media will draw most of the hate on you, so that can become a problem. But of course, at the same time, it can attract customers and talent. And that is, of course, nothing to frown on. As mentioned, I think there are many, many dangers attached to these messages, and I'm certain we'll see those companies kind of go away from these strong messages very, very soon as they feel the pushback and as they see the negative consequences of all these messages. And it's also important for me to state, I truly believe, and I think we can see, that AI has a strong impact and that we need to adapt. There is no doubt about that for me. But as I also mentioned many, many times before, AI is a useful tool. I don't know what will be the case in a couple of years, in many, many years. I don't know. Nobody knows, including those people. But right now, it's a really, really useful tool. It can be really useful. It can also be really dangerous. Very often, though, no matter which task you're tackling, it can only get you to 80 or 90%. And the remaining 20 or 10% are actually the hard parts. And when we talk about coding, if done wrong, if falling into the vibe coding trap, for example, that code of the 80% working application can be so bad that it's pretty much impossible to get to 100%. So you could say you're not even at 80%, then you're at 0%. You will never reach your goal. So that is really, really important to me here. These are all reasons for these statements. That doesn't make them true necessarily, though. And it is worth keeping in mind that AI is a very useful tool, but that nobody can look into the future. And we just don't know how good AI will get, if it can be mostly error-free or pretty much error-free, if it can get us to 100%. Nobody knows that right now. Keep that in mind.